You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ayo, ambitious, the go-getters, the handle business, the up and rising, this is
30-30 and thriving.
The motivation, the dedication, the inspiration, this is
30-30 and thriving.
Making her own moves, making her own rules. This is
30-30 in private.
Yeah, a little sexy, cool. With Amber, boom, this is
30-30 in private.
What's up, everybody? It's AB. Hi, I'm so excited. I've been like waiting for today. I have some guests, and I'm so excited to introduce them to you all. We've got Allison Putt, who runs Coach Putt Putt Running, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. We have Patricia. How do you say your last name?
Odie.
Odie. Mm-hmm. I was saying it wrong. I was saying like ode something.
Yeah. Ode to
Patricia
joy.
Patricia Odie. Yeah. And you do True Desserts.
Yes.
I love it. And then we have Jennifer. And I know Battle.
Yeah,
but
Jennifer Nagel.
Jennifer Nagel of Figured Out Fitness. So I'm excited because really, this show is all about, you know, empowering people. And these women are incredible because all of them have kind of taken charge over their health, their life. Not only have they, you know, transformed their health and their bodies, but they've turned it into a business. So I love that. I think it's amazing and a great opportunity for us to all kind of talk to you all about how maybe you can tap into some of this as well. So, you know, I'll start with Jennifer because I've known you for a few years now. I met you, I don't know when it was, but it's been a few years. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I met you, I think you must have just kind of been starting your journey because mm-hmm. I remember you were in shape, you were nice, but like you've obviously done a complete transformation even since then. So tell us a little bit about your background and your journey. How did you get to where you're at now?
Yeah, well, I've loved fitness my entire life. And I was telling the ladies earlier that I worked at a gym in high school. I taught aerobics and it was always kind of on the side. And really the last 5-10 years or so, especially right after my divorce, I got really back into it because it was the place where I felt most comfortable and I felt most confident. And so I started working out once again at home, and then I really loved it. So I want to do more certifications. So I got group certifications, personal training certifications. Then fast forward, my now husband, at the time we were just dating, we opened a fitness studio in downtown Lansing and owned that business for a couple years, and then decided to focus on our family. Then I started getting into competing, actually. And so that's probably when you first met me. So I always worked out, but really loved the discipline of competition. And really love the community. So it was really great to be around like-minded people who really cared about health and fitness. And so over time, using my personal training background and those types of things, I took it from being a side business to something I did full-time. I absolutely love working mostly with women and really looking at health and fitness as kind of a holistic mind, body, mindset, behavior kind of thing. So my business, Figured Out Fitness, I work with mostly women online, and whether people are looking at just nutrition coaching or training, who are competing or who aren't competing, I love working with them. So it's a little bit about me. It's been kind of a long, winding journey, but, you know, it's been great to get me to where I am now with Figured Out Fitness.
That's so exciting. I've been watching your journey over the last few years, and I'm loving it. And I love the competition photos and everything that you post. I think it's amazing. And it's funny, before the show started, we were kind of all talking and you were saying how, like, sometimes, you know, how there's weird people that approach you. Maybe sometimes they have fetishes and things like that. What has your experience been like? Because there is kind of like this stigma with, well, women shouldn't be that fit. Women shouldn't be that. Like, have you experienced anything like that?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, people tell me all the time, it's like, you look great, but I don't want to look like you.
And, you know, to each like a backhanded compliment. What the heck?
To each his own, because, you know, most people who are exercising or doing it for themselves, so they're not really looking for outside validation. If you are, it's kind of like, well, maybe some other things that you need to work on first. And it's just like any other sport or hobby. People like doing what they do. So we're not doing it for outside validation. And for some people, I don't have any muscle. For some people, I have way too much muscle, but I like myself just fine.
Exactly. So. And that's what matters.
Yeah. So I just tell folks, you know, do what you like doing. So some people want to get really big and muscular, and that's their thing. Go ahead, get it. You know, if you want to be smaller, that's fine too. Just be the best version of yourself.
So now, your husband, Paul, right?
Yes.
Does he compete too? Because I know you guys kind of met it on your journey together, right?
We have such a cute story, which is way too long for this podcast. But we basically met on an online fitness accountability group back in the day when Insanity, we were doing the Insanity program together.
Oh my gosh.
He lived in Texas. I lived in Michigan. And let's just say through multiple years of being really good friends online, that's how we met. And he ended up moving to Michigan. And then we started our lives together. But he doesn't compete, but he certainly is fit. He is a veteran of the U.S. Army, highly decorated. I'm very proud of all of the things that he's done. Stays in fabulous shape, so it's really
okay.
It's really fun to work out with him and just, you know, share something that we both, you know, have a passion for. So, yeah, he posts workout selfies too, but he's not on a stage just yet. Who knows? Maybe one day.
Okay. That's awesome. Cool. That is great. So, and you said nutrition is a large part of what you're doing to get in shape, right?
Oh, absolutely. Nutrition's a cornerstone. It's really good to have Patricia here too, because I know she's going to talk about that.
Yes.
But it really, I mean, you can do a whole lot of exercise, but if you're not taking care of yourself from the inside, it's just not going to, you're not going to get the kind of results that you want.
That is so where I struggle, because I'm like, I'll work out, but I'm like, I love food so much, and I love really bad food so much. So I'm obsessed, Patricia, with your Instagram and your everything that you post, because I feel like your food looks too beautiful to even eat.
Thank you.
But it also looks really, really delicious and colorful, and I love that it's all raw. So tell us a bit about, because you have a really amazing story as well, how you transformed your health.
I like it.
Yeah. So tell us about it.
All right. I'm going to sum this up as best that I can. So I'm 30 years old, and as far back as I can remember, around age 5, so I don't know if it was a little bit before that, but I was very sick, starting with chronic body pain and chronic migraines. So I was started on Motrin 9 a day at 5 years old, and that kind of started my journey. That led into severe gastrointestinal problems for the next 20 years. It led to autoimmune disease, endometriosis at 12, but they didn't find it until I was 25. But it starts when you start. I had blood clots, had to have a rib bone removed to save my life at 18. 8 years of chronic skin problems. Just the list goes on and on and on. And so when I was 25, this is when I was in a Pilates class in college, I had actually met someone who was in building and competing. And I told her, I said, I can't yo-yo diet anymore. My whole life growing up, since I was a little girl, I would journal my food and I would starve myself and I would hide and take diet pills. And, you know, I'd do all the things that I could do. I was a very depressed young girl growing up. My father left when I was 5. So that kind of paved the way for the way I ate. And I ate poorly. I would run into the kitchen to say I was getting something to drink, and I'd shove 4 pieces of pizza in my mouth at 8 years old, you know, because that was my security. I was an emotional eater. So that fueled the disease. So when I was 25, I met this young woman and I said, I just need some guidance, you know. And at that time, it's so funny because I look back, it's completely opposite of what I do now. Diet-wise, but it helped get me started. And I lived in the doctors. I lived in the hospitals. I was on medication after medication for 20 straight years, and no one ever helped me. So that's when I realized I had to do something about it. So I thought someone had mentioned something to me about the gluten-free thing. That's when everything was coming up. Mm-hmm. So I went and I got allergy tested, and lo and behold, I was allergic. I have actually reversed that allergy due to...
That's possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Anything's possible. Yeah, I didn't know that, though. I thought that I was doomed and I'd never have it again. And I also thought that by getting it out of my diet, that was the answer. But it wasn't. So within the first 9 months, I listened to my body, which I learned was the best teacher of anyone, of any doctor I'd ever had, my intuition. And from that point, I had gotten rid of gluten, soy, dairy, meat. So that's when I became vegan. And then about a year after that, I was doing a lot of comfort vegan foods. I never really did like the tofu or the deep fried stuff, but I did a lot of the fake cheeses. So I was still having health issues. Because
I learned, too, that Oreos are vegan.
Oh, God. Yes. So
it's like, okay, I can do vegan.
Let me just put on the record that vegan does not mean healthy. There are a lot of very deficient people because that sugar, potato chips, Oreos, yes.
And I learned to work in the Oreo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's when I started learning about plant-based foods and whole foods. And I got into Beachbody.
Yeah.
I was a Beachbody coach for 3 years. And so that's really when I started learning. And I was going through a degree for fashion. So I got my degree and I went right into nutrition. And I ended up getting certified as a holistic nutritionist. So I do own Patricia Odie Wellness. So I work with clients on the side with healing diets of chronic disease, cancer, autoimmune, stuff like that, with healing foods and herbs. And then that's how True Desserts was born. Because I wanted something good to eat. And, you know, I couldn't find anything anywhere. I stopped going out to eat for years. So that's how it was born.
So how do you do that? Now do you go out to eat at all?
Yes. Or? Yes. I go out often now. I have broken that barrier of being terrified and being scared. I was living in Saginaw. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with Saginaw. But when you make this transition, there is nothing for you. Like, I would have to drive 45 minutes to find a health food store, you know. So I learned the hard way, but that was really beneficial because it taught me how to make food at home for myself. It taught me that I didn't have to go out to enjoy. I did miss a social life, but I also didn't have any friends or family up there, so it didn't matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I came here. I live in Northville now, and that's when I kind of started saying, okay, go out, you know, try something. I learned that I have to call ahead if I want to. I don't even do that anymore. But I had to go through those steps to be comfortable enough to go out. If I go to weddings, my husband's totally on board. We eat the same way. We do everything together. We'll bring a cooler full of food and just sneak out when dinner comes. And we'll go do our own thing in the parking lot. It's fun. It's like tailgating.
tailgating at
yeah.
a wedding.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, you learn to adapt. And I feel very blessed in the sense that instead of every challenge that happened along that way, I could have given up easily. You know, there was a point in time where I learned about this terrible preservative in the almond milk I was drinking, and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, you know? And instead, I was just like, okay, now I should look out for that. It taught me, it just really taught me how bad the food system is. And and that, I think, is what my strength is in helping other people, because it's so easy to give up, and so many people have such an emotional connection to food. So, yeah, it's been 5 years of a journey. I've reversed all of my diseases on my own.
That's incredible. And that's amazing. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still healing because 20 years worth of, you know, there's still
Absolutely.
Certain things, but I haven't been on medication in years and I haven't seen a doctor. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
See, I love your story, and I love, like I said, seeing all of your posts and watching your creations, because it, to me, I think I posted on Instagram earlier, and I was like, she's like a food creator. She creates really amazing
Thank
foods,
you.
And I think that's awesome, and the fact that you're now, like, you're actually using it to help other people, because it is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I joke about it, but I mean, it's something I've looked into. I've never really like been one to diet, but I'm like, I want to eat healthy. I want to be healthy.
Right.
I don't
lifestyle.
Want absolutely lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. It's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I love to eat out. Mm-hmm. Like that would be so difficult to like mm-hmm. figure out what you can actually eat at a restaurant, or like you said, to find something that you're getting comfortable with your almond milk, and then you find out there's something in it that you're like, man, like it's very discouraging. So and like you said, just learning how bad the food system actually is incredible. I spent some time in Europe a few months ago, and I like their food tastes so much better there because it's so much better for you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow a lot of the crap that we put in our food.
Mm-hmm.
In their food there, and it just tastes different. I miss it. So I'm like, I came back and I was like, nothing tastes the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
So Allison.
Yes.
So I don't know as much about you. You're going to have to fill us all in. I know you started this, you're a marathon runner, right?
Yeah.
And how many marathons have you run?
Well, so I've done two.
Okay.
And I've kind of scaled it back to focus more on the half marathon, because if you've done any kind of long endurance training, you know the toll it takes on your body. And I love the competition. I love to get out there. I was telling them before we got started, like, I am an incredibly competitive person, just by nature. I actually don't play card games with my family at all.
Oh no, you're one of those.
It's better for everybody involved. I get way too emotionally invested. It's not good. But so I don't sign up for races unless, I mean, it's going to sound, well, I mean, I'll just put it out there. I don't sign up for races unless I'm going to place. Because in the thing is,
wait, how do you know that? Like, how do you determine whether or not you're going to place?
Well, so I'll look at like the leaderboards for the past, and really what I do what I mean when I say that, though, is I look at the race, I look at what's out there, and I look at my drive to compete and know that I'm going to push myself that hard regardless of my physical condition. So it's better health-wise for me to be prepared and in shape. So I will, like, I'll pull out of a race if I know that I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was talking to Patricia about her marathon is just because, like, I will hurt myself trying to get to that point. Okay. Like, I'm fine in training. I can take easy runs. Not every single run has to be a 7-minute mile. Like, it's just race day comes. Like, I've been running since I was 12 years old, and I've probably run hundreds of races in my life, and I still have nervous pees every single time. Like, I hit the porta potties like 6 times in the last hour.
So how long does it take for you to train for a marathon, and what does that process look like for you?
Yeah, so for me individually, and I have a very long history of running, so I might be like, take that with a grain of salt too, because it's going to be vastly different for someone who has never run before. and it depends on your body type too. So, I mean, Jennifer, you might have better luck with it than someone who's not done any kind of physical conditioning.
Like me.
So what it would look like is probably a 5 to 6 month investment. And I tend to, I write out all of my training plans. I do it for clients too. And my whole thing is, electronic, but I just like writing it out because I'm very visual that way. So I map it out and I look at it each week in like kind of as part of a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I never increase the mileage from week to week more than a roughly 10%. And 10% being my outer boundary. I tend to be a fan of like conservative mileage building because that's the best way to keep your body safe. If you add too much mileage from week to week, you'll get some stress injuries. That's how you're going to get breakdown, the hard pounding on your body. So,
like, what's the thing called? The split shin splints?
Yeah. Yes.
I heard those are terrible.
They're not fun.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me how you took this from something you're passionate about and something you enjoy doing personally into something that you do to help others.
I just kind of was looking around. I went through some transformation over the summer. So I'll back up a little. My husband is an engineer and he is not a runner. He is a lifter, which honestly, like, is good for our marriage in some ways.
Can't be competing with your husband, okay?
Well, let's be real. Like, he'd be competing with me. So.
Yes, I love it.
No, but so he got a job over here. We used to live in Grand Rapids. And he got a job over here when we were still dating about 2 years ago. And so I followed him over here and kind of in trying to establish myself over here, went through some like job situations that weren't awesome. And over the summer kind of went, you know what? Like, this isn't right. Like, I need to do something that feels right for me and something that I'm really passionate about. And I'm always telling people how to run anyway. And it's coming from a place of like wanting to help.
Yeah. It's coming from a good place, I promise.
Like, let me be clear. But it's because I love watching people reach their goals. So I think kind of to communicate that, like I paced a race a couple years ago. It was a half marathon. And when you're a pacer, what you do is you typically pace at a minute slower than you usually run when you compete. And you, what you do is you hold that as a steady pace the whole time through. And you're there as a guide for other women or other men. In this case, it was a only women race, which is really cool. Mm. But you're there to help them as they're going through. Because if you ever do an endurance race, what you'll find is that it's a huge mental game to keep yourself at a certain pace level. So what happens when you have a pacer is you don't have to think about that. You just have to think about just putting one foot in front of the other. And that takes a lot of the stress of race day off, because mm-hmm. you can just depend on someone to make those decisions for you.
Oh, okay.
And I had a blast. When I'm running, like I get that boost. And like being with all those people, like I had to like rein myself back in, because I get excited when we would go by crowds and I'm like, you got to cheer for these women. Like, come on.
That's awesome.
I'm like the hype man. But so we had one woman come up to us at the end of the race and she said, guys, I got a PR, which is a personal record. Mm-hmm. I PR'd by 45 seconds.
Okay.
And she was like crying.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the most incredible things that I had ever experienced, just to be like
part of that.
But yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That's amazing. So, I love that. You know, I just realized that all three of you are married, which I think is incredible because I think there's this stigma that like powerful, passionate, ambitious women tend to be single because like men can't keep up with them, or because they're too headstrong, or because of whatever reason. Like I've heard this a lot. I've actually had a lot of conversations about this. And I'm like, that's not true. I have three amazing women right here who are passionate, powerful, headstrong, who are doing their thing. And they all have men who love and support them. So, mm-hmm. ladies, there's hope. You just, yeah. you just keep on pushing.
It's the right man.
Exactly.
Yeah, the right man.
There you go.
They will want to see you succeed and help you do it.
I love mm-hmm. it. Okay, well, we're going to jump into a break. So for those of you new to the podcast, I love to I'm a huge music fan. So I love to kind of give some exposure to local artists. This particular artist is from Lansing, Michigan. Her name is Kelsey Lynn, and this song is called Grindin'. Disclaimer, so like I tend to curse a lot and drop the F-bomb, and I'm going to share a whole bunch of different kind of music on this show. So this one's a little racy, I guess. And some of it may be, but I have some really chill music too coming. So I have like songs lined up for like the next, I don't even know how many shows. And there's definitely a variety. So let's jump right into that break. Too dramatic.
We grinding, grinding, getting it. All this money we winning. If you ain't body, you tripping. All this ice, man, I'm dripping through your speakers. We be banging for my ones out there slanging. We grinding, grinding, getting it, getting it. We grinding, grinding, getting it, getting it. We grinding, grinding, getting it. All this money we winning. If you ain't body, you tripping. All this ice, man, I'm dripping through your speakers. We be banging for my ones out there slanging. We grinding, grinding. And be lacy, numbing on the swag, got him feeling for a taste. Killing every beat, gotta catch case. Sip top shelf, don't need no chase. Keep the candles, bitch, all we want is cake. Hustling glow, that's all I know. Snap back the bands till bills don't fold. Pretty little bitch with the wavy flow. With a catch ass up, call it undertow. If it ain't about the money, then it gotta go. If you need the green, gotta go the low. Get you blind from all that shine. Looking at the rollie, it's about that time. This one's for the hood, staying on they grind. Been running to the money, we ain't hard to find. It's Kelsey Lynn, you know about mine.
We grinding, grinding, getting it. Money we winning. If you ain't body, you tripping. All this ice, man, I'm dripping through your speakers. We be banging for my ones out there slinging. We grinding, grinding, we getting it, getting it. We grinding, grinding.
God, I grind it out, going hard on my paper route. Resume got a lot of clout, serving zombies like a haunted house. 10 bands in my Levi's Strauss.
Stack of millies the humble way. Hit the gas, turn my music loud, till my horsepower stay underlay. No delay, zero hesitation. That good ganja, my medication. Smoking chronic, bumping Dr. Dre. That's what I call higher education. Reputation is everything. Imitation, same after lame. Get it gone, make it disappear. I do street magic like David Blaine.
We grinding, grinding. Money we winning. If you ain't body, you tripping. All this ice, man, I'm dripping through your speakers. We be banging for my ones out there slinging. We grinding, grinding, we getting it, getting it. We grinding, grinding, we getting it.
Till my whole team forget it. Thinking we gon' fall off at me, me forget it. Best believe got the liquor. We can cater or come get it. Hella flame out, can't say no. Gotta close mouth cause I lit it. Shut the game down, shack back, boy. Spin the hard on them, then pivot.
We grinding, we getting it. All this money we winning. If you ain't body, you tripping. All this ice, man, I'm dripping through your speakers. We be banging for my ones out there slinging. We grinding, grinding.
And we're back. And during the break, Patricia shared some of her cakes with us, and it's so amazing. I'm eating the blueberry. What is it? Blueberry,
wild blueberry and cherry.
Wild blueberry and cherry. Yeah. This is so good. I'm like upset. So what do you make the like frosting with?
So most of the time I use cashews. So everything is fruit and nut based. And like, for example, I use the wild blueberry. Wild blueberry is incredibly detoxifying for heavy metals and pathogens in your organs. So everything that goes into them has a purpose. So that's how I created that one. But the frosting is made from cashew cream.
Wow. Like, I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know what to expect because I'm like, you know, I'm like blueberry. I'm going to taste, but wow, it tastes really good. This is awesome.
I always get nervous when people eat in front of me. I'm like, oh my God.
Like, what are they going to think?
Oh shit. They're going to lie? I don't know. No.
Because like I said before, it's so beautiful that I was like, I wouldn't even want to eat it because it's so pretty. But it's just as delicious as it is.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Absolutely.
I'm
so
glad you guys like it.
Yeah. So on the break, I was talking to Jennifer a little bit, asking about if she does any cardio, because that's something I've kind of always been curious about. I feel like you're supposed to, you have to do cardio, right, to work out. But Jennifer, you were saying you really don't do a ton of cardio.
It depends on the time of year and what my goals are. So I think you work out according to your goals. So as a bodybuilder, when I'm looking to put on muscle, you know, I might even put on a little extra fat there too, so that I can have enough energy to have that excess calories to gain muscle. So I definitely am not really focused on cardio at that time because I'm trying to gain muscle. But this time of year, when I'm 4 weeks out from a competition, muscle's there, I'm trying to lean out a little bit, so the cardio goes up a bit. But I think cardiovascular exercise is always good for heart health. It's something you need to keep in your repertoire, just a matter of how much or how little that you do based on your goals.
So I find that fascinating because you were saying like sometimes you might add a little fat somewhere. And like, I've seen your pictures. I've seen your body transform where it's like you can literally over the course of a few weeks make your legs a different shape or your butt. And I'm like, how is she doing this? Like, how do you target areas and make them?
Oh, it's not targeted.
And then go, it's crazy. And then you like go back and forth and then like you change it around competition. You get really, really, you know, defined. Yeah. And that like,
yeah, it's really cool, actually. I think that's why I like it so much, why I like bodybuilding so much. And that's, you know, one part of what I do, but definitely the bodybuilding is a fun part for me. So, you know, over time, maybe in the beginning as a new lifter, you can gain like 7 to 10 pounds of muscle in a year or so. So you do take that time. And in the course of that, you might gain a little bit of fat. Some people gain a lot of fat. Sometimes people gain a little bit of fat. So the body is still, I always have to remind myself too mentally, the body is still there. It's just whether it's got a few more layers on it or not. not. So it's a, you know, a constant cycle of adding some more layers on, adding some muscle, taking some layers off. So that's the way I look at it. So I, you know, you have to be happy with your body at every single stage of the journey. That's what I always tell my clients. So you're beautiful, whether you're 15 pounds over your normal weight or 15 pounds under your normal weight. You just have to really love every single day of the journey and really enjoy the lifestyle and not so much worry about what you look like from day to day on the outside.
So do you work out every single day?
No. At most,
I thought you was out every day, twice a day.
No, and that's what I want to tell people. Work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
So, yeah, you you know, if you're just trying to lift weight, sometimes you anywhere from 3 to 5 times a week of actually lifting, because what you're trying to do is just get good resistance training there. But, no, when I'm maybe I lift 5, 6 times a week, and my workouts are actually short. I try to make them as efficient as possible, so maybe anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. I'm in and out. So just like I loved what you were saying earlier about running, you really have to think about the long-term health of your body. Mm-hmm. So it's not more is better all the time. You have to really think strategically about how you're going to train, and how you want to make sure you build in recovery. Recovery is so important. So yoga, foam rolling, any of those types of things, you got to give your body a rest and really understand its cycles.
So Allison, do you do anything for recovery? Like after you run a marathon, like you've done all that training and building up and then you run and you win, of course, you place. And then what do you do like after that to kind of, you know?
Honestly, in the first couple of days after you really, really hit your body with something, just go for a walk for at least 30 minutes. And I was like nodding my head emphatically when you were talking about recovery, because actually most of the work your body is doing to get stronger happens while you're recovering. Mm-hmm. So what you're eating when you're not working out is hugely important to like fuel that recovery process and make it more efficient and better. But so the reason you want to do at least 30 minutes is because it gets your blood flowing, and that will fuel getting the good, all of the good stuff that's in your blood to all of the muscles, and it circulates all of that out. And also drinking lots and lots and lots of water.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then building back up slowly.
What about like alcohol? How does alcohol play into all this?
I laugh because the day when I finished my marathon, like I laid in bed with ice packs and a bottle of wine on my nightstand, like right there.
No shame. No shame. You earned it. Mm-hmm.
I felt like we needed to address this because, you know.
Just like the Oreos, right?
Exactly. I mean, people want to know if I want to be healthy and I want to transform my body, can I still, you know, have a bottle of wine in bed or, you know, whatever it might look like for different people. So
I could definitely speak to that for a minute as I'm going through a phase right now. Like, right now. I mean, there have definitely been times where, like, I went on a 9-month, like, barely drank anything, you know. And then this past week, I think I've had something every day for the last 9 days. Like,
oh my God.
But it's a glass of wine,
yeah.
Sometimes two. But I do my best to balance and work through life. And that's what I've learned over these years is that, man, I didn't realize I was putting pressure on myself. I didn't feel pressured. I was very happy with the decisions I made. But it is about living in the moment and being okay with your decisions and not regretting. And
absolutely.
So that's how I find comfort
high five,
if I want to.
High five on that?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I love that.
So, you know, when I walked in, I was like, ooh, liquor. No. I am that person, but no, this is a health talk show today.
So. No, but it's good. I mean, as I was saying before, I contribute to the other podcast in the other studio, and they always do shots before the show.
That's
which,
so fun.
Yeah. I feel like I need to start doing that because I think it would definitely help me a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think it just makes you a little bit more comfortable.
Sure.
And, yeah,
sure.
So
and I think with alcohol, it really depends. I mean, again, I think as a, quote, normal person going through a normal day trying to live a balanced life, it's fine to have alcohol and to really think about the balance. But just also know what alcohol is doing. It's sugar. It does a lot of,
right.
You know, you're ingesting that. And from time to time, it's fine. I'm not a big drinker for a few reasons. I actually have high blood pressure. And so when I drink alcohol, I feel horrible.
Aww.
So I just don't drink. And when I'm in training, I absolutely don't drink it because it kind of stops some of the progress that I'm making and I don't feel so good. So for me, a lot of times eating certain foods or drinking. I'm not really, most people think I follow a super strict diet. Mm-hmm. And by most measures, maybe I do, but I don't really think it's that strict. I really go by how I feel when I'm eating certain foods. So certain foods are going to make me feel a particular way. They may not help me feel as strong. I feel maybe weighed down or I feel sluggish and I don't want to eat or drink those things. But I think if you're doing something super strict and you really have to understand how it impacts your body and how it impacts how you feel. Mm-hmm. So if it's not a big deal, like I know some people who work out, we're like, oh man, I had this big weekend and I drank all this stuff. And then they go out and run 10 miles. I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work like that for me. Mm-mm. But I just think you have to know your body, know how it reacts to certain things and then kind of act accordingly.
Yeah.
So nutritionally speaking, if there is an alcohol, if there is one alcohol that's better, because my theory is, and I don't know that much about nutrition, but I always like, I never used to drink. I just recently started drinking since my divorce. But that's probably a sad thing.
But like, it's all right. Do you?
But yeah, but nothing too crazy. But I because I never really drink, I never knew what to drink. And for whatever reason, I don't know, when I was like 21 or whatever, like my girls were like, Sex on the Beach or like Long Island. Those were the only drinks I knew. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, it's just a bunch of cheap liquors. Like, throw. I was like, okay, I don't want to drink that anymore. I'm a little bit higher class than that. So then I just started drinking Patron on the rocks. That's like my drink. But so my theory though is like, is it, if you just drink liquor, is it better than drinking wine, or is it better than drinking like a mixed drink with juices and pops and stuff like that? Nutritionally speaking though, like, is it worse to have all of that extra juice or pop or whatever people mix in it, or the different kinds of liquors, or is it better? I mean, does anybody
it's empty have, calories? It's yeah.
Like there's no well, right way off, to do it.
Alcohol is poison. You know, you can get around it. Okay. It is what it is. But
I tried.
I do. So like, for example, for me, and this has been a challenge with going out, but I do my best. There was a point in time where I would only drink organic sulfite free wine. Like that's it. There's such thing as vegan when it comes to alcohol. So they use animal parts as like cheesecloth for alcohol. And I didn't even know that until like a year or so after.
That's
like
crazy.
So I had no idea I was drinking that. For me, my vow, if I'm going out, you can actually like look online and see if you can find, you know, you can look up like, is this vegan, blah, blah, blah. I try to stick by that rule as best I can. I will notice the difference in my body the next day if something wasn't. And then... Yeah, I mean, quality always matters. Just like you're going to get some coffee. You hear coffee's good, coffee's bad. What do? Quality. Look for organic. Look for fair trade. Do your best to just get something that's ethically sourced, you know, and then you don't feel too bad. But you're just doing tequila on the rocks. I mean, so that comes from the agave plant. So that's like, it's not too bad. But no matter
what. About Hennessy?
Go hard. I'll join you. That sounds good.
Okay. So
don't drink beer.
No, I never. You know? I never drink beer ever because I feel like that's yeasty. And like I've always had this thing in my beer gut. I'm like, I don't want a beer gut. I will never drink beer. It's disgusting too, by the way. And then like there's this whole fascination with IPAs now. Are you a beer drinker? Because I felt like you scoffed.
I like
well, no, beer. I can totally get it. But I worked at a craft brewery in Grand Rapids for 5.5 years. And so like I actually have a really hard time. Like I feel awful after I drink beer. Mm-hmm. But it was such a big part of my life. Like it was my early 20s. Like it was with I had a lot of friends at that job. It was a great neighborhood place. We had great food, so I loved it. But yeah, I'm not an IPA person. I don't get it. I think it's about the hype. I got it. I know people aren't going to like that.
Is it like a hipster, like trendy thing? Like, I don't understand. I took a drink. It tastes like perfume to me or something. Like, it's very.
If you have a sweet tooth, you got to go for like a stout. Like a stout or a coffee porter. Like
I love craft beer. I miss craft beer. But when I found out about the whole wheat thing, I just stopped. So it's been 5 years since I've drank beer, but I've actually had sips here and there of craft good beer. And that's it. Like, just let me try a sip. Mm-hmm. It started out like I'd go out and I'd be like, can I smell it? You know? But that's it. Yeah.
So actually you said something a minute ago about like just make in terms of being vegan and making sure that it's like ethically done or what have you. So is that your reason for – is it more of a health thing or is it ethics or is it both? What is the
– So for my health, for the animals, for the planet. Gotcha. It started out for my health, absolutely. I had no idea I was going to be vegan. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know what organic was, you know. Mm-hmm. And basically when I started, I said, okay, because I went home from my allergist and was like, oh, my God, what do I I do? You know, I'd be crying in Meijer grocery shopping, not knowing what to do. Aww. I said, okay, I vow to myself, I'm going to learn one new thing every day. One thing. And I stuck to that. And I've self-studied a lot. So, yeah, when I was learning, I was watching a ton of documentaries and reading. And, yeah, so there's a way to go about living with compassion and understanding the difference between it. So, yeah, you just kind of learn about the difference of the product out there and try and do your best with quality.
So another question I have for you, because I think this is another common maybe misconception, hopefully, that eating organically, eating vegan, eating healthily mm-hmm. is way more expensive. Mm. No.
Let me tell you, I was on minimum wage at $7.20 an hour. My husband was making $12.50 an hour. We were in college full time and we were working and we did it and we still do it and we still have no money. Because that's entrepreneur life.
Right.
No, you learn. You learn, but it takes dedication. Sometimes I go to four different stores to make something happen. A mom with three kids might not be able to do that.
Right.
But there are ways around it, you know, and it's farmers market season. So that's when you start talking mm-hmm. to farmers and you get so much more for your money. And like, shout out to Trader Joe's. I worked there for 3 years. And let me tell you, their quality mm-hmm. is top notch and the prices are amazing. You can do a lot there for a family. So mm-hmm. no, I mean, yes, things can be expensive, but you don't have to buy all the expensive stuff to thrive.
Right.
You know?
So do you have a favorite or like a go-to place besides farmers markets? Or do you ever do anything online?
I started this year. I love Thrive Market. They're an incredible. Online. Yeah, they're an incredible. I've saved so much money. And that's a place where they source ethically and they're getting fair trade and non-GMO and organic. And, you know, I if I went to the store one day, I would have spent over $100 on what I ordered. And I spent like 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. So Thrive Market. And I think that's pretty much it. There are some places you can look, but that's worth your money and worth your time.
So with this lifestyle, this healthy eating lifestyle, do you have to supplement to get make sure you're getting all your nutrients or you're covered because you're eating really amazing antioxidant filled stuff?
Yes, but it's taken a while to get here. In the beginning, I did a lot of supplementing. I went through a lot of cleansing. I had a candida overgrowth, so I was on very specific herbs for that. There was a point in time where I did probiotics, but it's nothing that you have to live on. When you do these things, you're getting yourself out of what I like to call the black hole mm-hmm. so you can surface and mm-hmm. you can be healthy and start weaning off of those things. And so I focus on herbal teas to help heal now. And I mainly eat fruit. Like the majority of my diet is raw fruit.
Okay.
So it's very healing and yeah.
So what about you, Jennifer? Do you have to take any supplements in order to compete?
No, I don't think you have to take anything. I think the best way to do it, what I usually preach is I do the 80-20 rule. So I try to get 80% of my foods from whole food sources, unprocessed sources, and then the 20%. So I'm not exactly as disciplined as well, but you know, but I do appreciate because I do agree that it's so easy and convenient to get crappy food and it's low mm-hmm. quality. It doesn't do a thing for you. So if you try to at least, you know, at basic shop the perimeter, look for, you know, organically grown or those types of things and eat a wide variety of foods, then you get a lot of your supplementation from the foods that you eat. Certainly, a lot of bodybuilders will do certain stacks, like if they want creatine extra, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. I actually keep it pretty simple. Vitamin C, a multivitamin, and at times protein, additional protein. But again, I try to limit that because they're just depending on what kinds of brands that you're using. There could be a lot of extra crap that you're putting mm-hmm. in there.
Right.
Definitely try to avoid anything with artificial stuff in mm-hmm. it, sweeteners or ingredients, because it does make a difference in how I feel. So I might be one of the few bodybuilders, I just don't do a ton of supplementation. I'll do some at certain points if I need to, but generally it's not that I have, you know, stacks of pills that I take every mm-hmm. day, you know, but everybody's different. But I've learned about how I feel.
That's really awesome. Good, because I think a lot of people think automatically, like, especially as a woman, if you're competing and you have a body like yours, like you, oh my gosh, you have to be taking something, but you don't.
No,
that's awesome. Yeah. So you're just athletic and you're just, it's a lifestyle, right?
Yeah. You know, I always joked around because it's like, you know, my butt likes to be on stage in my little fancy bikini. And, you know, I was too short to be, you know, a model and I was too stocky to be, so you know, do a lot of things. So I was like, yeah, here's my thing. I love to work out. I love to be fit. I like kind of prancing around and, you know,
I love it. I'm so inspired, not only to like eat healthier and be more conscious of what I'm putting in my body, but also just like you said, like you were too short. I struggle with that too. Like I'm 5'3½" maybe.
5'3¾".
Yeah. Those quarters and halves matter. So yeah, but you found a way. I love that. And I think, you know, that's what it's all about is finding a way. Now, Allison, do you ever have to take anything to gear you up for the marathons or anything, any supplements? Or is it like all the time or you don't deal with it? Or
so I don't take supplements per se, like you were talking about, like creatine. Actually, my husband does that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he's not like massive either. He doesn't do any kinds of shows or anything. But what I actually do is, and especially as we're moving into the summer season, is like sports drinks. I typically do like Gatorade. If you want to do something more natural, like coconut water. And don't really, like, if you're going to do it, don't do like the low sugar or whatever, just do it, because at that point your body needs those carbs. If you're gonna do like a drink like that 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after your workout, that's when you're gonna get the maximum benefit. And then the other thing is that moving into your competition day, so like your marathon race, there's a lot of little nutritional packets that have carbohydrates, and they're typically like 100 grams per little packet. And for like a marathon, you might do 2 to 3. And there's things that are like, some of them are gels, or they're called goos, or some of them are little jelly beans or chewables. There's a ton of different stuff that you could actually find in like Meijer, local running stores, all kinds of different stuff. And so that would be the only kind of supplement or additional besides natural. But the one precautionary thing with that is that if you're going to use it the day of the marathon, you have to practice with it.
Okay.
You must practice with it.
You can't just like throw it in at the last minute.
Cool. No, don't do anything on race day that you haven't done before. Don't throw anything new in there.
All right. Well, we have to wrap up, but I am so, so happy that we did this. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I think it's been great. I hope the listeners and the Facebook Live viewers have enjoyed it. Make sure to tune in 2 weeks from today. We're going to be talking about your spiritual health. We're going to do full circle. We're trying to get everybody right. So appreciate it. And it's AB. I'm out.